As we jump into the message tonight, we're going to be looking in the book of Revelation. If you want to go ahead and turn there, Revelation chapter 2. But before we read that passage, just a little bit of an introduction. And so Revelation chapter 2 is where we'll be. Revelation chapter 2. You know, we're very quickly approaching the year of 2015. And it's really easy to, you know, begin looking ahead at this point. You know, in fact, really, that's what I've been doing this whole past week. Brother Reed and myself, Pastor, and Brother Gomez have probably all been doing that in a sense. As a church and as a staff here, every year around this time, we begin working on our annual planners, again, which is simply we're looking forward to the next year, and we're looking at the different ministries that we may oversee, and we're looking at, you know, maybe how we can make them better, and we begin planning things out, and we detail everything out as far as the steps that's going to make this event happen. Again, my biggest one would be the youth conference, and I have like 130-something tasks on just the youth conference alone. But I've been going through that in my mind and thinking about it, and when do I need to do this, and when do I do that, and just really thinking about this next year. And again, it's a great time to do that as we're approaching, again, 2015. You know, that process of doing these annual planners has been something that's helped us out as, again, it's forcing us to really plan ahead and to think ahead. But the great thing to do, and again, this is a great thing to do and something that, again, our pastor has challenged us to do. But before we did that, he challenged us to first, before really looking ahead, he challenged us to first examine this year. And so, you know, it's kind of like, you know, how did I do this year? Did I achieve the goals that I had set for this year? If I didn't achieve those goals, you know, why didn't I? Were they maybe set too high? Were they unreasonable goals? Could I have reached them if I would have worked harder? And so kind of examining this year before really moving on to next year, you know, what could we have done better, and so forth. And so, you know, as I thought about that, you know, I thought, you know, I've been, as a youth pastor, talking with some of our school kids, and talked to one of our college students this morning, and I realized, you know, it's kind of what the college, you know, school's doing right now as well. You know, as they come to the end of their semester, what do? They have these final exams. And again, what's the purpose of all these tests that they take? It's so that they can again, see how they have done over this past year, over this past semester. And it's a good thing for us to kind of review and look back at our lives. And again, sometimes we set, you know, the New Year's resolutions and things like that. And how many of y'all like to do New Year's resolutions? Just curious, you know. A couple of us in here do. I really don't normally do that, but this year I did. But a good chance for us as we come to the end of the year to kind of look back and see and evaluate how did we do on those things. And so I ask you that question, just, you know, how did you do? How have you done this past year in your life? You know, as an individual, again, really before we start focusing so much on this next year, and again, before we start thinking about the New Year's resolutions for this new year, again, I want to just stop for a moment and think about how we've done this year. And so again, as an individual, ask yourself, how did I do? You know, as a father, as a mother, how did I do this year? As a son or a daughter, maybe, how did I do this year in my life? As a brother or sister, maybe, as many of you are siblings in here, and how did we do in our individual lives? But not only that, but, you know, what about our Christian life? What about my walk with the Lord, my daily devotions and time with the Lord? How did I do this year? It's a good thing for us to examine our own lives and to look at that. But not only as individuals, you know, as I was thinking about this, I thought about us as a church. You know, how did we do as a church this year? You know, again, as a body of believers here at this local New Testament church, us here, how did we do? You know, there's some results that we keep track of. Again, I oversee the soul winning ministry, and so every week we go out soul winning and we turn in those numbers, and so we have numbers like that, you know, I can share with you. Again, for example, we knocked on 28,127 doors so far this year. And that's awesome. Again, 28,127 doors. And with that, we've seen 536 people trust Christ as their Savior through soul winning. And that's something that we can praise the Lord about. I mean, that's awesome to see that our church body has come together and pulled together in such a way with a vision to reach our city. And we've reached, again, 536 souls. But at the same time, I started thinking about that, and I thought, you know, I wonder what those numbers could have been if we had more people out soul winning. I wonder what those numbers could have been. I wonder what the Lord could have done in our church in the area of soul winning and seeing souls saved if we had more people who were faithful to soul winning. You see, just an average number within our English ministry, we have about 12 people who regularly will attend our soul winning meetings and go out on a Saturday morning to share the gospel with people. Our Spanish ministry, they're doing a great job, and they average over 50 people. But again, think about within the English ministry, you know, our average attendance probably on a Sunday morning is close to 120, if not 120 or more, and yet we have about 12 people who go soul winning. And so, yes, we've done a great work, and I praise the Lord for that, but at the same time, I wonder what the Lord could have done through us as a church if there was more people willing to go out and tell people about Christ. You know, again, I think about our attendance. Again, I said about 120 probably be an average. Again, I don't know if that's an exact number. Maybe Ms. Flax or someone else may know the exact average number there, but I would say 120 would probably be very close. But then what happens to a Sunday night and a Wednesday night crowd? Unfortunately, those numbers begin to, you know, decrease in half as each service comes along. Again, we can look around and we obviously know that, you know, there's not 120 in here tonight. And I know that we can do better. And again, I praise the Lord for those who are here tonight. And I know that this is the faithful crowd, but listen, we can do our part in encouraging others to come and be faithful to the Lord's house. You know, the Lord made it a priority. The Lord made church a priority, and we ought to make church a priority in our lives as well. And so again, what could the Lord have done in our ministry if we were a little bit more faithful in soul winning or in attendance and this or that? You know, the pastor says it all the time, and it's so true. We have some faithful men, some faithful people, some faithful families here in our ministry. And I praise the Lord for that. But let's not just be satisfied with some. You know, let's determine that we're going to do our part, and we're going to get encouraged. We're going to go out, and we're going to do what we can to see the work of God grow. As, again, we give glory unto Him. You know, we want to give God the glory in our lives, and Lord, and we can do that as we are faithful, but yet also encouraging others to be faithful. And so, again, I've been thinking about this, again, as I kind of review this past year. You know, how have I done? How's we done as a church? And, you know, as I was thinking about that and just, again, what we've done, my thoughts begin to change just a little bit. As I was reading this past couple days ago or last week, I was reading through the book of Revelation, and again, we're going to turn to this passage here in just a moment, but I was reading through the book of Revelation, and if you've read the book of Revelation, you know within those first few chapters, you read about those seven churches there in Asia that the Lord sent letters to. And I began to think about this. What would the Lord say to us if He was to write a letter to us? What would the Lord write unto us? And as I began to think about that, the answer that I came up with was it's not so much about, you know, how I did or how we did, but it's more about the why we did what we did. Look with me in Revelation chapter 2. We're going to begin reading here in verse 1. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He says, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." The Lord, as He writes here to the church of Ephesus, He begins off by praising them for what they have done and recognizing the things that they have done over maybe this past year in their lives. And I believe as you know, we examine ourselves, we can look and say, we've done some great things as a church. Again, those 536 souls that we've seen saved and the gospel that we've left on doors, and who knows, maybe people have been saved that we didn't even know about. And again, we've seen some great work going on, the continued construction and improvements of the church, and we've been doing some great works, and we can see that, and the Lord knows those things. He sees those things. Again, verse 2 says, I know thy works. In other words, he sees what we've done. He sees what they have done, and just as he sees what we have done. You see, there's nothing that goes unnoticed with the Lord. The Lord, he sees everything that is done around this church, around this property. He sees everything that's done in our lives. You know, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3 says this, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And so the Lord, he knows, he sees, and he recognizes what we have done, as he here does with the church of Ephesus. And so the Lord, again, he praises them first for what they have done, but the central part of this passage here really comes from verse number 4. Look at verse number 4 with me. After he gets done praising the church here at Ephesus, he comes to verse number 4, and the Lord says this, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You see, as you study the church of Ephesus and the city of Ephesus, you realize that it was a city given unto idolatry. In Acts chapter 19, as you read about the city of Ephesus and the Apostle Paul going there, you read about this uproar that took place there in the city because Paul was there preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people were turning from their false idols unto the Lord and giving up those things. And so now there's this uproar which takes place there in the city. And in verse 35, the Bible says this about the city of Ephesus. It says, when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? In other words, we see that the city of Ephesus was a city which was given wholly unto idolatry, fully worshiping these false idols and going astray, not knowing the Lord. But yet this is the city where the Apostle Paul comes to. And in verse, the Bible says this about the city of Ephesus. It says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Speaking of here in the city of Ephesus, as it says in verse 19, again of Acts chapter 19, the Bible says this of the people. It says, many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And listen to this. And they counted the price and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. In other words, as the Apostle Paul comes into the city of Ephesus, he begins preaching the word of the Lord there. These people begin realizing that they've been wasting their lives on these false idols and worshiping this goddess Diana and these different things. And they turn to the one true God in faith. And in so doing, they give up this false religion that they had been bound up in. And it says again that they burned these books, and the price that was counted of these things was 50,000 pieces of silver. And so we can understand that here at the start of the church there in Ephesians, this church here at Ephesus, that this church, it had a complete devotion to the Lord. It had a true love that led them to do all that they did because of a true devotion and a true love which they had for the Lord. But we come to the book of Revelation now as the Lord's writing to them. And again, he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. And so I want to look at four steps that you and I can take to help us to keep our motives right as we serve the Lord. Four steps that can help us to keep our motives right as we serve the Lord. You see, something had changed from the start of that church to this point here. They had lost the purpose of doing what they were doing. Yeah, they were going out, so to say, like we do, maybe to tell people about the Lord and to invite people to church, whatever it is. They were still doing great works. They hadn't left God all behind. They were still in the church involved, but their motives, that love, the purpose, the reasoning behind doing those things had been lost. And so easily that can happen in our lives. We can get so busy. And rather than coming maybe to church out of a love for the Lord, we come out of duty. Or, you know, as my family did as I was a kid growing up, because, you know, it was just what you did on Sunday, right? You go to church. It wasn't because we loved the Lord. It wasn't because there was a deep devotion to Him. It was because, well, that's what we do on Sunday. And the motivation was lost. And that's what the Lord is pointing out here. As He says, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. And so again, I want to look at four steps that we can take to help us keep our motives right as we serve the Lord. And so that first step, as we can see here in verse number 5, is simply to remember. The Bible says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Remember. You say this, remember when the Lord saved you. Go back in your mind and think about that day when you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Like those people in Ephesus, as they realized that, you know, on their own they could not get to heaven, that they were lost in their sin on their way to a dark and helpless hell. And they turned to the true and one God, the one and true God, and He saved them. Not because they did anything, again, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so listen, it's not anything that we have done that's earned our way to God, that has earned our relationship with Him, has given us that security of a home in heaven. It's nothing that we can do or nothing that we have done, but it's all because of the grace of our Lord and Savior, as Pastor preached this morning. And may we remember that. May we remember how the Lord saved us. May we remember that day. You know, I think about when I was 17 and I trusted the Lord as my Savior. Again, I grew up in church. But again, it was just what we did because that's what you're supposed to do, right? We went to church, but there was never a relationship with the Lord in my life. And as I began to grow older there in my teenage years and I got involved in a good youth department, you know, I'd hear our youth pastor and his wife speaking, and I'd hear about, you know, my need, a need for my Savior, and I knew that that was me. But yet, I was just holding on. No, you know, everybody else thinks I'm saved already, and, you know, I'm here at church, but I knew in my heart that I wasn't saved. But it was when I was 17 years old going to a youth conference that I learned so well. It wasn't so much that I learned, but it just the Holy Spirit brought that conviction to my heart as a preacher was speaking about the love of our Lord and Savior and how He gave Himself on the cross to pay for our sins, that I finally said, enough is enough. And I went forward and with tears running down my cheeks, I gave myself to the Lord, saying, Lord, you know, I'm tired of running. And I asked the Lord to save me that day. And He did. And I praise the Lord for that. But you know, if we're not careful, again, we can get so busy in our Christian life and coming to church and doing our duties, again, whether it's ushering or being a youth pastor or whatever it is, and we lose the motivation. And God says here, the Lord says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. So again, remember when you first trusted Christ. Remember that joy. Remember that excitement that overcame you. There was this overwhelming feeling of just wanting to tell others. You know, I don't know about you, but you know, that very next Sunday, I was in the baptism water, getting baptized. Why? Because I wasn't ashamed. I was excited that I had been saved, and I wanted others to know. And so, you know what? When at salvation, there's this spiritual high, I guess you could say, to where now you're just overwhelmed and you want people to know what you have gotten and what you've received from the Lord. But again, if we're not careful, we can lose that. And so we must remember. But also would say this, remember our purpose. Remember our purpose. You know, we are to honor and to glorify God. Again, our theme for this year, unto Him be glory in the church. Our purpose is to bring glory and honor to our Lord and Savior. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. That price was the shed blood of Jesus Christ, by the way. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We have a purpose. We don't just, we're not here aimlessly to live until we die, but no, we have a purpose, and that purpose is to bring glory and honor to our Lord and Savior. And we can do that, again, by pointing others to Him, by living our lives for Him. And so, remember our purpose. Not only is our purpose to bring glory and honor to Christ, but we also have a purpose of telling others, as I just said, about Christ and bringing people to Him. Christ said, you know, He prayed to the Father that He would not take us from the world, but He would leave us here so that we could go out and tell others. Again, He gave us the Great Commission to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures. Why? So that they too could be saved. And so God has commissioned us. He's given us a purpose to tell others about Christ. And so I go back and I say this again, 12 people within the English ministry, a regular basis again would be about 12 people. Again, I believe that we can do far greater than that. And we can see far more souls saved if we would realize that the Lord has something for us to do. But we have to come back to remembering what He's done for us. Otherwise, the motivation, the purpose is lost. And we'll lose that feeling. Maybe we've done it before, but we've forgotten maybe all that He's done. And may I challenge you and again encourage you to just remember what the Lord has done. Again, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. And so the first step again is to remember. The second step, as we see here in our passage, is to repent. The Bible says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. Repent. Meaning, I must come to a point where I realize that, you know what? It's no one else's fault, but it's mine. And I need to come to God and I need to confess my sins to God. I need to confess my shortcomings to God. I need to confess my lack of commitment to God and say, God, I realize where I am. And Lord, I ask You to forgive me, and I ask You to help me and pray and ask Him again to give You that recommitment, maybe to stir up that love and that commitment in your heart so that you can once again have that motivation to do with the right heart what God would have us to do. And so as I think about repent, obviously we need to repent of sin. May I say this? We need to repent of known sin. You know, none of us in here are perfect, and we know that. All of us are sinners. That's including me. We're all sinners. We all commit sin. We all fall short of God's glory, as the Bible says. And we know that. And so when we sin, we need to, rather than trying to hide it and trying to look good on the outside, we just need to simply go to God, bow before Him, and ask Him to forgive us. Repent of those known sins. But did you know that there's sins that we commit that are unknown to us as well? And so let me say this. We need to repent of the unknown sin in our lives. I think of David, as he says here in Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, we sin without even thinking about doing it. And sometimes, again, we don't even know that we've sinned. And we need to go before God, and we need, as David says, search me, O God, try me. Lord, show me where I have sinned, where I didn't even know I did. Again, I thought about this, you know. What is it that the Lord is pointing out in their life? that they've lost their first love. Did you know that that was a sin? You know, did I know that losing my motivation for why I serve God was wrong and sinful? You know, maybe we didn't know these things, and there's things in our lives that we don't even know that we've done, that the sins that we've committed, and we need to repent of those things and go before God, and again, ask God to search our hearts and to try us and to renew us in a relationship with Him. And so again, we need to first remember. Secondly, we need to repent. But thirdly, let me say we need to return. As you look at this passage again, verse number 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent. And then he says, and do the first works. In other words, return back to where you were at first. Go back to where you were, where there was that commitment, that love that you had for doing what you did. We need to, you know, look back at our lives and realize, okay, where was it I got off track, and return to that point in our lives. And so we need, again, not just to remember and repent, but we need to return. Again, so we need to return to God. And again, in this complete love, is again, their fault here was, again, that they had lost that first love. And so a complete just love of the Lord and of our Lord and Savior. Again, how do we do that? Again, really going back to the first point, just remembering. It's hard for me not to love the Lord with all my heart, soul, and mind as the first and greatest commandment is. It's hard for me not to do that when I think about what God has done for me. When I think about how He went to that cross for me, it's hard for me not to love Him. And so how am I going to return back to that place? Again, it goes back to point number one, just purposefully in our heart and in our mind, going back into the Lord, going to the Scriptures, reading our Bibles, spending time with Him, because it's there that we are going to grow closer to Him and we're going to love Him even more. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. And so we need to return to God in complete love, and also return to God in complete surrender. Think about that. What is salvation? Really, it's a surrender of myself and saying, Lord, I can't do it. I have to have You. It's all about You. It's a surrender of myself to Him. And may we get back to that point where we will fully surrender our lives to the Lord and allow Him to work in our hearts and lead us and guide us as He would. One way to, again, to return again is to simply through prayer. You know, as I thought about this, you know, as we pray and we see answers to prayer, it helps me to return back to that love. Psalms 116, verse 1, I love the Lord, the Bible says, because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. When you see the Lord answer your prayer request, you can't help but to say, what a great and a mighty God I serve. And not only that, but Lord, I love You. Thank You for caring so much about a person like me, that You would answer my prayer. Again, as we mentioned this past Wednesday night, how, you know, we had our computer stolen and different things, and we were praying about that, and we see the Lord by the next morning answer that prayer request. You know what that did? That strengthened me in the Lord, and it just says, I love You, Lord. You care about these little things. And just, so again, how am I going to return? Again, by going to the Lord in prayer, spending time with Him, giving Him, and just remembering what He's done in our lives. And so again, we must remember, we must repent, we must return. But let me lastly say this. Sometimes we need to remove. And let me explain. Look at verse 5 again. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, in other words, return. But then he says, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. That word remove there, it just kind of jumped out at me, and it wasn't necessarily the Lord was telling us to remove, but as I thought about this, you know, why is it that sometimes we do lose that motivation? Well, it's because we allow things into our lives that takes that love, that first love from us. And so there are certain things in our lives that we need to remove. And so I don't know what it is. And again, it could be a number of things. Maybe it's pride that's in my life, and I'm too proud to really serve the Lord of my life, and whatever it is, and pride is suck up in my heart, and now it's limiting me from being able to serve the Lord with that motivation of love. Maybe it's envy. As I look around, maybe at the maybe fellow Christians, and I think, man, they've got it so much greater than I do. And man, I wish my life was like theirs. And I begin to envy maybe what someone else has or whatever, and that hinders my love for the Lord and my walk with Him. And so maybe it's envy that I need to remove. Maybe it's bitterness. Something that's happened in my life and it didn't go the way I thought it should go. And the Lord, why did you let this happen? And bitterness has now grown in my heart. And if I don't remove that bitterness, I'm not going to be able to serve the Lord as He would have me to serve Him. Anger, the list could go on. Again, we need to, again, examine our own hearts, our own lives, and realize what is it that's hindering me from truly serving the Lord as He would have me to serve Him. Because I don't want that nevertheless to be written in my letter. As the Lord says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. May my motivation of serving the Lord be out of a heart of love, a commitment, and surrender to Him, and not just out of duty. And so listen, we can oftentimes think, well, I'm going, I'm doing it. Doesn't that count? Well, yeah, the Lord, He still praised them for the things that they did. He still recognized them, but what was it that He pointed out that was wrong? That the purpose, that reasoning, that motivation. And so motivation matters. Why we do what we do does matter. And may we get back again to that point in our life, if need be, to where we can love the Lord with a full heart and surrender to Him and allow Him to work in our lives. And so again, just four easy, simple steps, again, to help us to keep our motives right as we serve the Lord. Remember, repent, return, and remove. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in prayer, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that as we, again, we come to church and we sing songs and, you know, we go out soul winning, we do this and, you know, we do work around the church. And Lord, we want to glorify and honor you, but I think so many times that we lose that motivation and we're doing things out of just the have to, the supposed to, whatever it is. But Lord, I pray that as you challenge the church here in Ephesus, that you would help us to remember, to repent, return, and then also, Lord, help us to remove those things that we need to, so that we can have a heart that is motivated by true love to serve you with our lives. So, Father, I pray that you would just bless this invitation.